This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The trial of Lori Vallow Daybell continuing on. We are into the second week now of testimony. Never know what you're going to get when you start watching the trial. Some days, some moments, you get, somewhat competent Lori. And by somewhat, I mean just not like taking the bait and going down full Lori Daybell route. And sometimes you get Lori, wanting to know the details of if her dead ex was a good kisser. Joining us to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. What's been your takeaways thus far of the first full week and into the second week of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell?
That Lori Vallow should have a lawyer representing her. That's my biggest takeaway.
That's about it.
And that Lori Vallow makes some really shitty green chili chicken
enchiladas.
Yeah, she doesn't make good enchiladas. And, she took some great, she took great umbrage, the fact that her brother did not remember her green chili chicken enchiladas. So
I know.
But on the serious tip, she just doesn't know when to object. You know, I mean, it's like kind of the most flagrant takeaway in terms of how the state's trying the case is that, I mean, the prosecutor's just leading every witness, and leading question is reserved for cross-examination. And that's, that's basically where you're able to tailor a question that will, really maneuver the witness the way that you want them maneuvered and keep them contained to a yes or no answer. Whereas with direct examinations, you're allowing the witnesses to give more of a narrative. And what you're seeing from the state is that the state's testifying and all the witnesses doing is saying yeah or no.
Mm-hmm.
The state will say, oh, wasn't it true on such and such a date you did such and such? Yeah. That's not the way it's supposed to be on direct. And Lori just doesn't have the wherewithal or the knowledge to object to any of this stuff. So the state's trying the case in a way that they wouldn't be able to try it if Lori had a competent attorney that was handling it for her. I've been wondering, she's got advisory counsel or standby counsel that's there at the table, but she has her investigator sitting next to her.
Yeah.
As opposed to one of the lawyers. So, I've seen her on two occasions, one being yesterday where she's gone back and she's asked the judge, can I get some advice?
Mm-hmm.
She's gone back and spoken to the attorneys. But I mean, it's she knows the legal terms. That doesn't make you a lawyer.
No.
She doesn't understand how the rules of evidence work. She properly used the word quash yesterday. Yeah, I mean, she's like learned the legal terms.
Yeah.
So she doesn't sound like a bumbling idiot, but she has no idea what she's doing in that courtroom.
She still kind of sounds like a bumbling idiot, but.
Well, she sounds like a narcissistic bitch is what she sounds like.
If there is a drinking game to this show and every time we use the word narcissist, you'd be drunk. Everyone would be drunk by the time they're done watching a single, because it's so prevalent in all of these cases from Karen Reed to this. It's insane. And the thing is, the judge, I noticed, is kind of holding your hand a little bit more than I think, you otherwise would be doing if your defense is being led by the actual defendant. I know the other day she was talking about bringing in some of the stuff with the kids and the judge is like, are you sure you want to do that? That opens a very big door. And the point seemed to be kind of lost on her, but he was still like, are you sure? Are you really sure you want to do this? And you can tell at some point he's like, okay, well, whatever. I did one.
I mean, that's been the million-dollar question. Is she going to kick that door open with her big mouth?
Yeah.
Because the fact that they are not able to get in the fact that JJ and Ty Lee are dead is incredibly frustrating for people watching this trial, and it's like, it doesn't seem fair because people, but I mean, courts aren't about fairness in terms of what's going to be allowed in, what it's concerned about is the rights of the defendant and you can't hang your hat if you're the state on the fact that she's a fucking monster and has been convicted on those two other cases as being the basis for a conviction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's why it's not being allowed in. Now, I think that there could have been an argument, and I'm sure that there was a pretty sturdy argument about a common scheme or plan, that this was all part of that shit, that it should have come in under that, you know. But I mean, the judge ultimately decided, no, I'm not going to let it in. And I think that was probably the safer of the two calls,
mm-hmm.
because like if he would have decided, I'm going to allow it in 404B type evidence, then the conviction would have been in peril in terms of, is the appellate court going to agree with me? Mm-hmm. So by making the choice to not allow that 404B stuff to come in, all her prior bad acts, mm-hmm. he made the safer of the two choices in terms of, if they get a conviction, this one's likely to stick, as opposed to, had he allowed that in, he might have been in the mindset, well, this is easily one that the appellate court could turn around and say, nah, you should never let that shit in. It's way too prejudicial,
mm-hmm.
And too remote. And, you know, so it's one of those things where I think he erred on the side of caution. You know, the question becomes, like, a lot of people are asking whether or not Lori will testify. And I think that it has to be no,
mm-hmm.
because if she gets on the stand, I mean, they're not going to even be able to say what she was convicted of. All they're going to be able to say is that she was convicted of two felonies,
mm-hmm.
or multiple felonies, you know, but they can't specify what they are.
Yeah.
So that kind of leaves a little window for her to come in, because they're not going to be able to say that she was convicted of killing her kids. So,
yeah.
I mean, how that's going to end up playing out, it's going to be interesting as well, you know, like trying to see her direct people that are not going to be friendly witnesses,
mm-hmm.
is going to be a sight to behold. You know, I mean, she's going to have very tightly tailored direct examinations, keeping it to a few questions. If she thinks that any of these witnesses are going to get on the stand and be helpful to, mm-hmm. her, like willingly, she's fucking dreaming, but yeah. She's always dreaming. She lives in a dream world. So, you know, I mean, who knows what she thinks is going to happen on direct with these witnesses she's going to call.
I felt like, I mean, the door got cracked a little bit the other day with the individuals from the Social Security Administration, because we were talking about death benefits for JJ. Mm-hmm. Again, death benefits, but not you killed your kid and you're trying to get death benefits. Just, he's dead. They didn't introduce how he died or why he died, but I mean, that was that like kind of, I was wondering, like, is this too big of a crack where more is going to start coming out here now that we've addressed that JJ's dead? Or was that just, you know, it served the purpose for what it was at that moment about Social Security and fraud?
I don't know if I even took it that way, because we're covering the trial on our channel. I thought more that she was receiving the benefits for JJ because of his disability.
Okay.
I don't know that it came out in the sense that JJ's dead, that's why she's getting the benefits.
Okay. Maybe I think I might have put that in there in my mind just through confirmational bias, and I already knew that. So yeah, you're probably right. I think you're right, and I perceived it that way.
Yeah, I don't think that came in that way. So, mm-hmm. you know, but still it's I mean, to me, the bigger problem from the state's perspective right now is that they have to prove the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been watching for now 5 days. Today is the sixth day. I think they only have 5 witnesses left.
Mm-hmm.
They better pick up the fucking pace.
Yeah.
Because in my estimation, I haven't seen anything that's proven the conspiracy yet. So I'm anticipating that we're going to get the text messages in, that the whole Nephi thing's going to come in, and that they're going to try to really put it together in closing arguments. Once they get that in, that, you know, that was all just code for her telling Alex, this is what I need you to do.
Yeah.
And this is really translating what those messages are.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be surprised if that's the final witness they put on, because mm-hmm. There has to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt that she was in agreement, that there was a conspiracy that existed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what this charge is. And, you know, if this jury does not know anything about this case, if they were lucky enough in terms of Lori's side to get a jury that actually has no clue about this case or who the fuck she is, mm-hmm. then I mean, the state's got a really challenging case to
they
be
do.
Able to prove it.
Yeah, because I haven't seen anything either where I'm like, oh, this really knocks it out of the park. I mean, we're showing that she's a shitty person. We're showing that she's, you know, delusional. She's showing that she's delusional, but we're not showing that she conspired to kill Charles Vallow yet.
Right. Yet. Right. Yet. I mean, and that's the thing, man. So it's like, we've seen the Emmy, mm-hmm. you know, she's made the, like a lot of times I always question after she does her cross, why the state feels the need to redirect.
I know.
I'm like,
she got more
points. Right. I'm like, well, like, well, like, you know, like when you redirect, you're making it seem like you're having to rebound from some kind of point that she made. And I haven't seen Lori make any points. I mean, like her biggest thing has really been the whole scorn injury or whatever they call that injury that's caused by a shirt or a hard object mm-hmm. that causes a particular type of wound. And I think they call it scorned, I think is the word that they use. Mm-hmm. And like Lori keeps talking about this bamboo shirt that he was wearing yeah. and that it's a very tough fabric. And have you ever in your experience seen an injury that's been caused by a shirt? And they're always like, well, it has to be a very tight fitting, like a sausage casing type shirt to where it's like almost impenetrable, which causes the injury. I thought that the one good thing that the state said about that is like, if that's the case, then why wouldn't the injury, the entrance wound have the same type of injury? Because it was certainly a bamboo shirt on the front mm-hmm. as well as the back when it's going out of the shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man.
I don't know. Like her arguments. I'm like, what are you trying to, I mean, the one, she does seem consistent in the, did you ever see me conspire with anyone or talk with anyone about killing Charles? She does make that point fairly clearly to a lot of people. Right. And the answer is always no. But everything beyond that, the context that leads up to that question usually has nothing to do with that question.
Right.
It's like,
she's trying to establish that, or at least put reasonable doubt in the jurors' minds that Charles Vallow was laying on the ground when the second shot occurred. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that has been like her whole theory has always been so that, because if she can get one juror to buy that, mm-hmm. that Charles Vallow was not laying on the ground in a prone position, you know, like dying when he was shot a second time, and that he was somehow upright or that he was still coming after Alex. And, you know, then she, in her mind, she's able to sell the concept that this actually was self-defense, mm-hmm. you know? So whether or not she's made any headway, I don't think so. I mean, I'm not buying it, but
yeah.
I'm incredibly biased. Like, yeah. I know everything that she's done, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not a good judge of it because I know all the shit she did.
Yeah.
So like I know that she's a piece of shit. I know she's evil. I know she killed her kids. I know mm-hmm. all this. So like from the perspective of being an objective juror, I just can't get there yeah. mentally because I know too much.
Sure. No, I hear you. And the thing is, even with the arguments of, you know, was he on the ground or what, does that necessarily, I mean, I get it. It could show that it was truly self-defense, but at the same point, it doesn't necessarily show that either. I mean, he could have fallen down and he was still getting shot at.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't go to the core of, was this a conspiracy to kill him? It's not like the act of the murder has anything to do with her, because we're not arguing that she shot him. We know she didn't shoot him. But did she and Alex conspire to kill him? And the event and the way that took place, whether he ended up on the ground or not, I don't think really means anything.
Other than the
self-defense argument.
Right. But that's it.
Yeah.
Like that's the state's theory isn't self-defense. That's yeah. Lori. So she's sure. the only one who cares about that. The state has to be able to show that it wasn't self-defense.
Yeah.
Because if there's that concept that is bought at all by the jury, the state's case is in real trouble. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm saying. If there's yeah. one witness or one juror rather, that thinks that there's a possibility that this was self-defense, that this actually went down the way that Lori's claiming that it did. And, you know, that Charles was chasing Alex with the bat and was trying to swing the bat. And, you know, Alex got the gun and shot him. And then, you know, he was still coming after him after the first shot. Then, you know, this state's got to, they've got to at least address it to the extent that they could say, all right, look, this wasn't self-defense. So forget about that part of it. Then they've got the issue of proving that Lori was a co-conspirator. That's it. They're two separate issues. One is having to address Lori's kind of quasi defense or defense of another, you know, in terms of you know, that Alex was defending Tylee. So, I mean, you know, but they still are going to have to prove up the charges either way.
It's still, it feels like one of those where you think you know what's going to happen at the election night and it's still too close to call. And it's going to be, I'm surprised. But well, there's still a lot to come, though, in this case. So,
yeah, we shall see. We'll see last five witnesses.
It's going to be interesting.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.